Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
People, thank you so much for hanging on. I really appreciate y'all hanging around. We had a great first hour, I thought. I really enjoyed it. We didn't have a guest. We like to do that every now and then. We like to have a roundtable discussion with, because we have several co-hosts. You never know when somebody's going to be out. Somebody can't get in when they should. So we have people in reserve. But we had a great first hour. This second hour, we have Jacob Tyler, our other great little co-host. He's a young guy. I hope he doesn't mind me saying he's only 30 years old. That's 42 years younger than I am. Well, that's a young dude. He would have been here earlier, but you know, Jacob, he had to hurry back home. He's been to his bar mitzvah. He was really late getting back to his bar mitzvah. So if y'all will, please, please excuse Jacob for being late getting back for his bar mitzvah. And he's going to be pretty much driving the interview tonight with a guy we have owned by the name of Clint Lacey. Clint Lacey, I've communicated with him back and forth for some time. He's a listener of the show. He really enjoys our show. God bless him. Surprise, surprise. Like, I'm not surprised. Jacob Tyler knew him before I did. I don't think I've ever seen anybody in our movement that Jacob Tyler didn't know before I did. And I'll just say this one more thing before we go to Jacob. When I was a kid, there was a movie called Journey to the Center of the Earth by Jules Verne. And one of my all-time favorite movies. I saw it when I was about 11 or 12 years old. Well, the title says it itself. These guys, the group of explorers, took a journey deep into the bowels of the Earth itself. And they met these creatures, these people down there. Well, you know what? If they'd have met a caveman down there who'd been, you know, a tribe of cavemen who'd been there for thousands of years, I'm sure one of them or more would have known Jacob Tyler, especially if they were in the right movement. But with that, we're going to go to Jacob and bring our guest on. What's going on tonight, Jacob?
Hey, Eddie. Glad to be on air with you guys. Hey, Matt. Hey, Lee. Hey. Pleasure to be on with y'all tonight.
Pleasure having you tonight. And you're going to be driving primary the interview with our guest. Clint, how are you doing tonight, fella?
I'm doing good. Good to talk to all of you.
Good to talk to you. I think I got a little bit out of order. You know, I'm old. I get out of order every now and then. I probably should have introduced you first. But I said, you know, you and Jacob know each other so well. What the heck? What's the difference? But anyway, Jacob's going to pretty much drive this interview tonight. Of course, I'm going to horn in because, you know, the subject matter you covered the other day when I talked about you was extremely interesting. So hopefully my young cohort will not mind if I kind of chisel in every now and then, especially on the new book that you're going to announce on this show here tonight. The Blood River Radio has the honor of being the first media organization in the United States to release the news about your book being published. With that, I'm going to shut my old mouth and go back to Jacob. Jacob, take it off, son.
Thanks, Eddie. Good to be on air with you, Clint. You know, I'm not sure if we've ever spoken over the phone or over Skype yet. This might actually be our first time. I think
we talked briefly over Skype one time.
yes, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, this will probably be the longest amount of time we've actually spent just kind of hanging out and talking one-on-one. So I'm looking forward to that. And you know, I was kind of hoping, if you have any ideas in regards to this too, feel free to interject, but I was kind of thinking that to give folks a frame of reference for who you are and you know your credentials and whatnot when we talk about your upcoming book later on, which of course we're all excited about. I thought perhaps we'd talk about some of your work with the Barnes Review and the previous book that you'd printed prior to this one, and you know that'll kind of lay some groundwork and give folks a sort of frame of reference if they're not familiar with the excellent work that you do already. Does that sound all right to you, or is there anything you wanted to sort of touch on while we were on air as well?
No, that sounds good to me.
All right. So for anyone who might not already be aware, Clint Lacy is a contributor to the Barnes Review, the historical revisionist journal that was founded by the late, great Willis Cardo, who I like to refer to as a sort of William Randolph Hearst for the right. He, Pappy, dogs me a little bit about me somehow knowing people in the movement before he even knew them. Do the math on that. I don't really know how that's possible. But Willis Cardo is one of those guys that you could really say that for. I don't know how many organizations, think tanks, and publications I've come across now, some of which I'd never even heard of before. And when I look into them a little further, they were all founded by Willis Cardo. And the guy was really amazing with just how prolific he was and how many print publication outlets he started for right-wingers and just you know the rather extensive work he did in our circles. And so the guy's a bit of a legend. If you don't know who he is already, look him up. He was so much in this category that when he passed on some years back, even the mainstream press, the lamestream, lying lapdog press, and I'm talking multiple outlets, did articles acknowledging the passing of this guy. And it wasn't quite as favorable as, you know, the northern newspapers when Stonewall Jackson was killed at Chancellorsville. You know, it wasn't quite that favorable. As a matter of fact, it was a bit more attacking the man, even in death. But you know that the man did some seriously excellent work for the cause of truth when even these mainstream outlets were speaking of him. Because, you know, typically, as we all know, they like to start out ignoring us and pretending like we don't exist. And it's not until we make some kind of waves that they start to grudgingly talk about us, if only to demonize us in the process. So, Clint, can you tell us a little bit about your work with the Barnes Review? And you know, feel free to interject anything else you feel compelled to there as well.
Yeah, I've been writing for them since the early 2000s. Mostly historical type articles, and most of them being about the Civil War or War of Northern Aggression, specifically in Missouri. But on occasion, I have written some modern political pieces, and I've even had one or two published in American Free Press over the years.
That's fantastic. How many articles would you estimate you've written for the Barnes Review throughout your throughout the time that you've been involved with them?
Well, that's a good question. I've never actually sat down to figure them out. You know, most of the time I only have one article in there. There's been a few issues where I haven't had any. I believe one issue I had four or five. So I really don't know. I would say between 20 and 30. Because it's, you know, it's a bi-monthly publication.
Sure,
and, you know, so, yeah, probably somewhere around there.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So, it's bi-monthly. So you've been writing for them for at least a few years then, right?
Yeah. I want to say my first article for them was around 2004.
Well, guys, we've got to go to a break now. We will come right back. As soon as we come back, we're going to go right back and let Clint finish what he was saying.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history, when countries ruin their currency.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Well, people, we're right back with our great guest, Clinton Lacy. You know, when we booked him, before I talked to him, I had no idea he was such a prolific writer. I should have known, since he knew Jacob. And, you know, Jacob's a prolific, especially for a little 30-year-old. If he's written two articles and have them published, it'd be prolific compared to yours truly. But with that, we're going to get right back to Clint, and I hope he remembers. Hope he's better than I am. Hope he can remember what he was talking about. Sometimes I forget, and he's going to get through, and then Jacob, he'll go to Jacob. So, people, here we go back to you, Clint.
Yeah, Jacob was just asking me, you know, when I first started writing for Barnes Review. And I believe the first article published was either in 2004 or 2006. And it was an article about a massacre that happened at Christmas time during the war here in Missouri in 1863. And it was quite a detailed article. And I'd been researching this subject for quite some time, and I continued to do it. Ultimately, I wrote a book called Blood in the Ozarks. It was published in 2015 through Poison Pen. That is Paul Angel's publishing company. And that's probably a good place for Tyler, Jacob Tyler, to interject.
So a lot of the work that you did then for the Barnes Review, it was sort of, I guess you could say, leading up to Blood in the Ozarks, right? And Blood in the Ozarks, of course, was kind of your first formal book that you'd written, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Okay, so all the work you'd been doing for the Barnes Review was sort of, I guess it was giving you just an increased frame of reference and helping you amass more knowledge under your belt for actually putting to paper, you know, that more comprehensive work documenting that. Now, so the Barnes Review and what Clint does, folks, you know, this is incredibly relevant stuff. I've talked to a lot of people that are like, oh, history, I don't care much about history. You know, why make such a big deal about what goes on in the past? And I mean, I think a lot of people in our audience, just out of the starting gate, would be like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" You know, who says stuff like that? Well, more people than you might realize, and I'm sure some of you have run into that as well. So it's not just that. It's not just that, you know, a lot of people are woefully out of touch with their history now. Why what the Barnes Review does, why what Clint does is so incredibly relevant and profound is there's that old saying that those who don't know their past are doomed to repeat it. But beyond that, because of the nature of the beast that we expose, the beast that we fight, we more often than not are dealing with unspeakable evil that has been perpetrated in the advancement of their globalist agenda throughout the millennia. And aside from exposing wrongdoing in the past, aside from setting the record straight, because we know how the enemy works so feverishly to subvert our history at every turn, right on up to the present, where we're being gaslighted about our own heritage. You know, people pretend like very well-established historical accounts that have been ensconced in the historical record and thoroughly uncontested for centuries are just being ignored by people as if it never happened, while simultaneously we're being told or having this agenda dictated to us that we're somehow culpable for the alleged misdeeds of our ancestors. And so the Barnes Review and publications like that, that are actual historical journals that publish these obscure and forgotten stories, it helps set that record straight. It's fighting tooth and nail against the corruption of the enemy in every bit the same way that the publication that Clint mentioned, American Free Press, does with publishing current events. As a matter of fact, you could even say that it's the other side. I mean, I would go so far as to say it's the other side of that coin of putting current news out to people. Would you agree with that statement, Clint?
Yeah, they cover a lot of news that mainstream sources don't. And they tell a correct version of history that many people refuse to. You know, a lot of times history is carefully molded and written in a specific way as to carry out a mainstream agenda. And the problem with that is when you compare a lot of this to what factually happened, it's just not true. And it's only when you go and start digging for the facts yourself, you realize that history has been covered up. And it's not only been covered up, it's being attacked now. And it's not only being attacked, it's being destroyed. You know, a lot of this started in 2015 with the Dylann Roof shooting in Charleston, South Carolina. You know, it wasn't the reason that our enemies attacked us. It was just the excuse they were waiting for. So Dylann Roof, there was a picture of him holding a Confederate flag, so all Confederate flags must be pulled down. Well, as somebody told me one time, I also saw a picture of him in a Gold's Gym shirt, and nobody calling for, you know, that gym to be shut down or stop selling clothing.
And as a matter of fact, one might say, well, he never attributed Gold's Gym as an inspiration to commit the atrocity that he did, but working out is pretty important. I mean, if you're going to wield a gun or carry it for very long or even squeeze the trigger, you got to work out for that. So, I mean, by that logic, we could say Gold's Gym is just as culpable as the Confederate flag is in that atrocity.
Well, I think so. I mean, if they're going to play that game, yeah, then maybe he wouldn't have had the strength or the fortitude to carry out this terrible incident had he not been exercising and working out at this particular gym. And then again, if we want to play their game, how do we know that Jim didn't cultivate his mindset?
Very true, very true. So with, since you're a historian, how, perhaps you'd like to comment on the state of academia today. I mean, there's obviously this very real need for revisionist history like never before. And I'm talking about real revisionist history, as opposed to the revisionist history where they go back into the historical record that's been well-established and long-established and then try to change things and add things into the record that never happened, like the allegations of Thomas Jefferson supposedly having an affair with Sally Hemings and siring mulatto children and things of that nature. You know, that's phony revisionist history. The Barnes Review and what Clint does, this is real revisionist history. It's about restoring dignity to people who were forgotten. And perhaps you'd like to comment, Clint, on the state of mainstream history today and those academic institutions that are directly responsible for advancing it.
Yeah, just to touch back to the Thomas Jefferson thing, I read one time a number of years ago that Jefferson had a brother that could have been described as quote-unquote a character, and he had a reputation for, you know, pursuing slave women, if you want. And since they had a shared DNA, the DNA tests are totally up in doubt and question because it could have been his brother. But as far as institutions, something that I found disturbing over the past few years, and this all kind of started in 2015 with the Dylann Roof incident down in Charleston. It gave them the excuse to go after the Confederate flag and, you know, Nikki Haley of all people. I don't know what her real name is. Nikki Haley is not a real name. But as governor, she was all too willing to pull this flag down because it was so hurtful, denying us of our heritage and celebrating our culture. But she did not die her, she did not dare quit celebrating her Hindu culture and religious ideals and history.
Well, people, they we got to go to a break now, and we will come right back with this great intellectual interview. I'm really looking forward to it. Be right back, folks.
Listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
Independent Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders rallies supporters in his home state of Vermont.
I am asking for your support to help me defeat Donald Trump, the most dangerous president in the history of this country.
Campaigning in Iowa, Democratic presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar has come up with a plan to help farmers. It includes raising the debt limit on farm bankruptcies and increasing access to government loan programs. For bankruptcy filings, Klobuchar wants to raise the liability cap from $4.2 million to $10 million, allowing more farmers to seek relief. She'd also increase the Agriculture Department's direct operating loan limit from $400,000 to $600,000 and the farm ownership loan limit by $50,000. Three more climbers died on Mount Everest this week, bringing the total of those dead or presumed dead to nine across the 2019 climbing season. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Summer is just about here, and you know you're trying to get in shape. There's nothing more key to getting in shape and recovering from your workouts than getting deep restorative sleep. And the best way to get it is with MyPillow. Now, the offer we have right now is one of the best you've ever seen. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for just $69.98, $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV, and better than you'll find in almost any store. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special to get two MyPillow premium pillows for $34.95 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered. Go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 to get this great offer, a great night's sleep just in time for summer with MyPillow.
Flooding is at an emergency level in Tulsa, Oklahoma. To control it, more water is being released through the Keystone Dam. Lieutenant Colonel Adam Weiss is with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Keystone Dam, which has been the focus point for us most of the time, has a release rate of approximately 250,000 cubic feet per second. If you do the math, that equates to approximately 1,000 school buses per second going through the dam.
Heavy rain in recent weeks has spurred major flooding in several states. A record number of people are driving this long holiday weekend. AAA spokesman Robert Sinclair Jr. said the weekend exodus began on Thursday, and the traffic jams will continue late into the night on Monday.
The second highest number of total travelers ever at nearly 43 million, and a record for the number of those driving at 37.6 6 million.
The record travel numbers come despite gas prices that are about 30 cents a gallon higher than they were just a couple of months ago. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, folks, we are coming right back to our guest. I'm going to interject just a few comments and maybe a question here before we go back to our guest. Before we go, pretty soon, we need to have the guest to plug his website. We need to have him plug his books. But I'd like to make, before we do that, I want to make a comment. I've been told that my grandson says when he orders a book, he likes a book. He doesn't like the Kindle because, I had told him, I guess he's getting paranoid for me. You know, these internet books, internet publications are so easy to change. But if you go get a book that's been around for 40, 50, 30 years, et cetera, for an old one, it's going to be kind of hard to electronically change a word that's in the library. I think y'all get my drift. Also, we're talking about history. You know, I'll agree with Hermann Göring when he was at the Nuremberg trials. He said that the victors write history. He said if the Germans had won the war, that FDR and Marshall and Eisenhower would be sitting to trial there. And I think that would have been rightfully so. Those people should have been on trial. Also, you know, Napoleon said that history is a fable that men agree to. Karl Marx and Trotsky, Leon Trotsky said that, Lev Bronstein said that if he can get the kids at an earlier age away from their parents, away from their roots, to destroy them from history, disconnect them from their history, he can mold them to do anything. Also, you know, another reason the government wants to get the children away from the people is you needn't look no further than Hillary Clinton, her book, It Takes a Village. I would like to say also, It Takes a Village, idiot, Hillary Clinton. Last comment. DNA, folks, do you really believe that crap? I mean, I don't believe anything they say. If they told me, they've told me they had my own DNA. You cannot believe these people. The old cliche, if you want to know if they're lying or not, the mainstream press, the mainstream people that hate us, if their lips are moving, they're lying. I wouldn't believe that crap. I wouldn't believe them if they told me that the sun came up in the east. Sally Hemings' DNA? Yeah, really. Yeah. They probably couldn't even find where Sally Hemings is buried. But anyway, don't trust the lying, stinking media. And with that, before we go, before I get off this horn right here, Clint, I'd like you to let the people know two things. How can they go on your website? How can they get their book, your book? And before Jacob gets through, I want y'all to discuss your new book you're releasing. The one that I'm so hot for is the one about the false flags. So back to you, Clint and Jacob.
Yeah, my website is foothillsmedia.net. You can click on a link there to access my blog. It'll be at the top of the page. Blood in the Ozarks is available at the Barnes Review store at barnesreview.org. You can get the first version of my book entitled A Truth Seeker's Guide to False Flags, and that's available at the American Free Press store at americanfreepress.net. But I started my own publishing company. I'm trying to get it off the ground here. And I always liked the title, A Beginner's Guide to False Flags, to kind of initiate those that have heard the term but really don't know a whole lot about it or want to know more about it. And so I'm publishing that book through Foothills Media now. It's not out yet. It will be soon. But the title is A Beginner's Guide to False Flags, The Deep State Agenda Behind America's Greatest Events. And in addition, it has something that the other version doesn't, and it's another chapter and an afterword in which I address, false flags that happened more recently. I had a heck of a time because I've never formatted a book on my own before, and it took me, to say several tries would be laughable, it took me 61 attempts to format this thing. I finally got it right. And I'll be uploading it on Amazon soon.
Well, that's great. I can't wait to get that book. I hope I'm going to be one of the first people, if not the first person. I definitely want a copy. I'll give you what it takes, whatever the price it is. I want to read that book on false flags. Also, one more quote before I go back to Jacob. One of my heroes, rest his soul, the great, the one and only Dr. Stanley Monteith. They call him Straight A Monteith. Graduated from Stanford University Medical School. He's a real idiot. Graduated from Stanford University Medical School at 19. He had his own radio show. He said, and I'll never forget, that reality is usually scoffed at while illusion is greeted as king. So you have to watch out, people, where you get your news from. Don't believe anything you hear, precious half of what you say. Go to people like Clint. Go to people like Jacob, who's been in the movement for all of her life. Come to us. You know, we're not as intellectual as these guys, but don't believe anything you hear from the so-called mainstream. You can't. They hate your guts. They despise the ground you walk on. They hate the air you breathe. So why would you want to go to see them about anything? Back to you, Jacob, fella.
Thank you, Eddie. Well, you know, it's fitting, Clint, that in Blood in the Ozarks, you give this riveting account of this very obscure and little-known atrocity that occurred in the Missouri area. It's fitting in this particular case that you are an expert on that, because this ties directly in with the yet another assault on our heritage that we've been dealing with, not just the rewriting of our history and whatnot, but ties right in with it, where they're, you know, taking down our monuments. They're trying to demand the battle flag and stuff like that. And I recall you earlier saying you were wanting to touch on this a little bit. So, and I think this is a great thing to bring up for the audience and just some food for thought. You know, you talk about these historical atrocities and everything, and modern day atrocities are the supposed justification for them taking down the battle flag. And so, you know, feel free to elaborate on that a little bit and how your own research has given you some insight on that whole issue and debacle we're dealing with right now.
Well, it's no coincidence that after this Charleston church shooting, you saw the emergence of church leadership getting in on the game. I know Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention. I believe it was the year after the shooting, might have been the same year, but I believe it was the year after the shooting, they held their convention in Ferguson, Missouri. Okay, you have to wonder why, you know, because all this controversy that happened up there. Well, it became clear when Russell Moore issued the Southern Baptist Convention Church's condemnation of the Confederate flag. And the same old arguments. It's hurtful. It's just so hurtful to people. We shouldn't be this way. We should be better Christians. Ignoring the fact that this symbol was actually a Christian symbol based on the saltier cross that St. Andrew was crucified upon. So they come out and say all this stuff. And there's churches... I can't remember the name of it, but where Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis attended church, they have their names on a bronze, like little plaque on the pews where they used to sit, and they're calling for that to be taken down. They're calling for images of them in stained glass to be taken down. You have, after Charlottesville, Virginia, and... that was 2017, I believe. Anyway, after that, you had Robert E. Lee's great-great-great-great nephew, who is a pastor, that came out and said, we shouldn't remember this man this way, remember him as a Christian, but not a Confederate. Basically, those weren't his exact words. He comes out of the woodwork, and they're just lining up, and there's a lot of good people in the church. Most of them are really good people, but they don't realize that in the upper echelons of their national organization, these people running their organizations at the national level are opening the door to bring in this one world faith. That's my opinion, because at the same time, they're saying we got to condemn this Confederate stuff. And they know that Confederate leaders were Christian men. Thomas Stonewall Jackson was Christian. General Robert E. Lee was a Christian. They had great revivals in the South during the war. It was a time of great revival. And at the same time, they're condemning them. They're saying, well, it's okay to have a gay or lesbian pastor. Now, me personally, I don't care what people do in their own time, as long as you're not shoving it off on me. And that's what they're doing. They're taking these congregations and they're telling them what they can't believe and what they should believe. So in other words, get rid of history, but all this other stuff.
Well, people, we got to go to a break. We're going to come back to our last segment in just a few minutes. So hold on, and we will finish this great interview with the Clint Lacey and Jacob. So hold on. We'll be right back.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no more.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal. But I'm gonna
okay, people, we're going to go right back quick to their guest, to Jacob. We're going to go to Jacob. I'm going to make this quick comment. Are you talking about the, Clint's so right when he said they're trying to go to a world church. You know, George Soros is big buddies with Russell Moore. I'm sure that my people know that. Everybody knows that. And, you know, George Soros, the communist, atheist, Jew, that ties right in with Trump, President Trump, going over and saying that Jerusalem is the international city. The International Organization of Christians and Jews was started by a Jew to better foster relations between Christians and Jews and to get better support for Israel. I just want to get those comments quickly in. Now, Jacob, we'll go right back to you, fella.
Thanks, Eddie. Yeah, Clint was touching on a great point there. You know, for all the modern churches talk of piety, they keep some pretty strange bedfellows, if you'll pardon the expression, in regards to so-called holy men of the day. But, you know, these consummate globalists that they are buddy-buddy with, you know, and these people that are flagrantly anti-Christ, and yet they have the nerve to lecture us about Christian conduct. And I'd hasten to add here that, you know, some of you may have noticed this already. Some of you, maybe, possibly. I don't know. Maybe, hopefully I'm not reading too much into this and assuming too much of you here. But the Christianity of Stonewall Jackson, of Robert E. Lee, like what Eddie was referring to in the first hour when he was recounting that story about Stonewall Jackson at the Battle of Bull Run, you know, riding around on his horse, and people could actually see him praying on top of his horse while bullets were whizzing around. And when the man asked him afterwards, and Jackson, you know, how he could be so calm in such a terrifying battle, and Jackson said that his religion teaches him to feel as safe on the battlefield as he does in his own bed. You know, that faith of those men and the faith of Russell Moore, for those who might not be in the loop yet, is not the same Christianity. The Christianity that has pushed away people in the more nationalistic circles and the anti-globalists is not that same Christianity. And the first indicator of this should be that these are the people that are preaching Romans 13 to us, you know, in some kind of sweeping, comprehensive way, totally ignoring context and all the various other nuances of that chapter, and totally ignoring that the scriptures very clearly define what a righteous authority actually is. And yet these men tell us that we're just supposed to obey any and all authorities, even apparently when those authorities are raging heathens. And so, you know, there's an extreme disconnect between the likes of Russell Moore and the Christian men of old that we hold up, and certainly of the Christian standards that we exalt on this show. And I suppose people like Russell Moore would say we're not real Christians. I would say Russell Moore and people like them are the ones who are out of sync with traditional Christian doctrine. So, also, Clint was talking about the emergent church that these guys are a part of. This emergent church movement has pretty much completely overtaken modern Christianity, and this is why it's really hard for those of you. I know I've heard many, many people, and I'm sure there's many in our audience who have the same exact problem. I know I've talked to many people who cannot find an old-fashioned Christian church to go to. They're, you know, they either just play this, you know, whiny Jesus is my boyfriend type of music and call that worship music, or, you know, their doctrine is skewed and way off and out of sync with traditional Christian doctrine. And it's becoming harder and harder and harder to find just a good old-fashioned traditional Christian church to go to. And this emergent church movement is one of the big reasons why that is the case. And there's a fellow that I know, he's not in our circles, so I wouldn't want to possibly smear or malign him from his standpoint, but he's a fantastic Christian guy that I know named Elliot Nesh. And like I said, don't guilt him by association, lefties and commies. He might be listening to this. He's not a nationalist by any stretch of the imagination, and he's also a pacifist, which I would disagree with him on. But Elliot is a phenomenal apologist, and he's done two very long, you know, lengthy and thorough documentaries exposing the emergent church, which Russell Moore is a part of, that Clint was referencing before we went to break. And so for anyone who, you know, that might be raising some flags of interest to you in your mind, go check that out. You know, Google Elliot Nesh and look up his material on the emergent church. Fantastic stuff. Required viewing, if you ask me. So with that, we're going to shift gears a little bit while we still got a little bit of time. And, you know, we'd be remiss to not talk about Clint's up-and-coming book, which he mentioned already. And, you know, the Blood of the Ozarks stuff, you could even say it ties in with this. You can almost see a journey, Clint, in your writing, where you talk about historical atrocities and then you shift into false flags, because, you know, those of us that study history know that false flags have been going on for a very long time. So, how does that tie in with your work as a historian? And from there, feel free to, you know, just kind of elaborate on your book a little bit and start talking about that some, and plug that to your heart's content.
Yeah, well, the one thing that a historian and somebody that's interested in what's behind false flags is, the common denominator is it's looking for the truth. With the first book, Blood in the Ozarks, it all started fairly simple. I come across this information about a massacre that happened in the Southeast Missouri Ozarks on Christmas Day, 1863, when the 3rd Missouri State Militia Union Cavalry come upon an encampment of their enemy who had 100 prisoners of theirs taken 2 days before. And they killed a lot of people because the Confederates' arms were stacked, and their leader was a preacher, and it was said that they were having a Christmas get-together. You know, the families came out. They thought they were safe. They were going to have dinner. He was going to do a preaching. and anyway, this Union unit comes in and massacres a bunch of them. And locally, it was taken as fact without any question of it until a couple of guys started raising questions and saying that the guy that wrote about it was crazy and all this stuff. But the guy that originally wrote about this, there was two libraries being combined in his area, and he saw that they were throwing a lot of stuff out. And he was a truth seeker, too, and he thought there might be something of significance in here that they're throwing out they don't realize. And he found documents confirming that this happened. And the two guys that they had this whole PR campaign going to discredit or malign anybody, trying to make them look foolish who believe this massacre happened. Well, one of them, it turns out, had several ancestors in the unit that committed the massacre. And in this particular county where it happened, there was only 14 Union families. And the other guy that said it didn't happen, he married a woman that was a descendant of one of those 14 families. So they both had axes to grind. And unfortunately, one of them pretty much took over the Historical Society and Museum down there and literally rewrote the history of that county, saying this never happened. It's folklore.
Clint, if I can interject something here real quick. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show, and this is very fascinating. You're making me want to do a whole other show just talking about this book, really. But just in the interest of making the most of this time for you and making sure folks know where they can look you up and find out about you, let's shift gears a little bit in these last 5 minutes to your book that you just came out with, and make sure we let folks know that they know where to go and where they can get the book and all that.
Okay, well, it's not been published yet. I've not sent it to the printer yet. I just now got a form in it right. But again, it's going to be called A Beginner's Guide to False Flags, The Deep State's Agenda Behind America's Biggest Events. And if you just want somewhere to go to look and see if it's out yet or not, just visit foothillsmedia.net. And when it comes out, I'll post it and post a link on where to get it. But we explore everything from what sparked off the Revolutionary War through JFK, the Gulf War, 9/11, the Obama administration, everything that went on during the 2016 election that was exposed about Hillary Clinton. And that includes he was her campaign manager, Podesta. And they were really into some sick stuff. And, you know, and when I say sick stuff, I mean satanic stuff. Hmm. And when I say satanic stuff, I'm talking about the harming of children. This was just business as usual with them. And it all got exposed through WikiLeaks. Now, the Democrats called it a hack. Somebody hacked into their information, their computers, but it really wasn't. And a lot of people think it was Democratic operative Seth Rich that leaked this information to Julian Assange of WikiLeaks because it sickened him. And what happened is Seth Rich, after this stuff got leaked out, well, amazingly, he got murdered in a robbery walking down the street.
Amazing. So, all right, just for frame of reference for everyone, folks, the book that we were talking about already, Clint already has a book out. If you're fascinated and appreciative of Clint's excellent work that he's doing, if we are, check out his book, Blood in the Ozarks. And it looks like we're about to close out. Do you have any other comments you'd like to make, Clint, in the last 30 seconds or so?
No, thanks for having me on. It really went by quick, and I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, Clint. Hope we can have you on again. And Eddie, what did you want to take us out?
Well, okay. I want to thank you so much. I'm really blessed with two of the finest co-hosts in the business. We're really blessed by getting great, great guests on like Clint. I would like to get Clint on to talk with Officer Jim Rothstein about just what he's talked about the satanic stuff. We're just about totally out of time. So thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We'll see you, God willing, same time, same place next week. Thank you very much, everybody. Pray for Blood River. Pray for all of my people. Thank you. Good night.